Thank you.
You guys, if you want to join it, make sure to notice.
waste as much time as possible because it's the first day of class. But I gave you guys sort of a rough overview of what class would be. Hopefully that gives you a sense of you know, what you're going to be learning and a sense of what's to come. And then I guess we looked at how to take the length of a vector and the distance between two vectors, and that's how we have it. So that's probably going to be, you know, old news for a lot of you. For those of you who it isn't, you've now seen it, so you've now seen, it's basically just the higher dimensional version of the Pythagorean theorem. That if you, you know, you all know that if you want to get the diagonal, the right angle, the triangle, the sum of the sum of squares on two perpendicular sides, and that gives you the derivative. And basically you can use this, just using your geometrical intuition, to figure out how long a vector is, or to figure out the distance between two points. If you take two points, you subtract them, find the vector between them, and you can find its length. So you therefore find the distance. And you can do this in higher dimensions. As I said, in this course, we're going to be mostly working in two and three dimensions, which is what you can kind of visualize or draw. But a lot of these things are generalizable in higher dimensions. Depending on what you're using it for, you might want to be doing this kind of stuff in high dimensions. So yeah, if you're doing like physics, you're probably not doing much beyond, well, three or four dimensions. Maybe, depending on the kind of physics you do. My understanding is there's not a lot of physicists here. Physicists are important. But if you're doing something like statistics, or you're doing you know, something that has a lot of variables, it's actually kind of one we'll talk about this when the relative maps comes up, but I was looking into some like machine learning, natural language processing stuff. And this actually uses very high dimensional vector spaces and does calculate the movement to some of the calculus techniques that you're going to use. And this is actually very high dimensional. It's very hard to actually visualize, but the goal is that you will have techniques that you'll learn in this course that will generalize. So we're mostly working in three dimensions. Knowing the length formula is very easy in two dimensions, in three dimensions. I'm telling you it still works. You can take it on faith, but you can also just play around with yourself and use the Pythagorean theorem twice and see that it works in. You can play around with finding second right angle triangle and find that it works in three dimensions as well. And it also just works in arbitrarily many dimensions. So I'm going to kind of let you know as we go what works in, you know, two and three dimensions and what works in arbitrarily many dimensions as well. But yeah, most of the actual work we'll be doing, most of the stuff we'll actually be doing on tests and assignments will just be two and three dimensions. All right, so because of this, because multivariate calculus is basically calculus in higher dimensional spaces, we need to get some review of our higher dimensional spaces. We'll get to the calculus pretty quickly, but for now, I wanted to do a bit of review of linear algebra. So probably most of you have seen this before. It's going to be like a nice, you know, very slow warm-up for a lot of you. For some of you, you may not have seen very much linear algebra, so it's going to be, you know, as we need a linear algebra, I will go over. You don't need a ton of linear algebra to do it. For some of you haven't seen it for years, it's going to be used to see this all again. So that's what I'm going to do. Today I'm going to sort of get into a review of linear algebra. So we're going to be looking at vector spaces. So vector spaces are basically these two, three, or higher dimensional spaces. Or sometimes if you're in your math, you find them much more abstract. But as I said, for you guys, it can be pretty concrete. So what a vector space is, so you can have two or three dimensional spaces, you can think of like an eight dimensional space, an eight dimensional space, or there's actually this abstract definition of vector spaces that sometimes comes up where you don't even think about having dimensions in two or four necessarily, but you think about all the things that you're doing in a vector space. That's more kind of if you are in pure math. It's not necessary to worry about that in this course, but it's sort of sometimes fun to keep that in the back. For those of you who are like, you know, really hardcore, you can kind of keep that in the back of your head. And keep in the back of your head that these things that I'm showing you will work there as well. So, the main thing that we're going to do, so one of the main things we can do with vectors is that you can add and take scalar products. So, what that's going to look like is you can add vectors. So, what this can look like if we have an example, we have, say, a vector. are these? These are so three-dimensional. You'll also sometimes see these written as columns. Sometimes it's convenient to think of these as basically as matrices that are of these dimensions. So sometimes people will draw them this way. They mean the same thing. This is sort of a matter of notation, so you don't get confused. And these are kind of what you see when you're doing matrix multiplication. So sometimes they'll write them like this. But these are usually, you'll see these a lot as well because if someone's writing a textbook, then it's a lot easier to focus on lines than the things, especially if you get higher dimensional. So you'll see both of these, hopefully will cause any confusion with the, you know, he's talking about the problem. So how you add them is just a really intuitive way of adding them. You just add the two components together. So this is equal to 3, 4. So this is a very intuitive way of adding them together. But actually has some nice geometrical properties. So that's another thing we'll be getting into a lot in this course, is geometry. So if I plot these two vectors, and we looked a bit at Cartesian space as well in the last class. So I can find these two vectors by saying, well, this is my x-coordinate, the first one, and the second coordinate is the y-coordinate. So I count along 2 in this direction, and 1 going up, and that's my first vector. The other one, I go 1 here, and then go 3. So those are my two vectors. And when I add these together, geometrically, we use something we call the parallelogram law. So what we do is, those are the points for the vectors. We can draw a parallelogram using those as two sides of our parallelogram. So we know the answer, so it's easier to draw. Sometimes it happens when this is going to happen a lot in the course. You're drawing math, and you're like, yeah, something's going to be exact. And then you draw it, and your hand kind of shakes, and it kind of goes like, oh, I'm drawing two parallel lines. And so that's going to happen a lot, and hopefully it won't confuse you. So I'm going to just draw in my web vector where I know the answer. I'm going to draw that in first, just so it ends up the right spot. But yeah, hopefully my bad drawings won't confuse you. I should add in general, if you get confused along the way, please let me know. Ideally in class, you have rehearsed too, because if you're confused, there is a fairly significant chance that I made a mistake. Like, that happens a fair bit. Like, if you think I've added something wrong, like if I added 1 and 2 wrong or something, and got the 7 or something, like, please point that out to me, because probably everyone else is in class going, like, where's 7 coming from? Like, you know, she must be right, because she's a math prof, but like, I don't know how 1 and 2 add up to 7. And so they're all going to be, like, everyone in class is going to be panicking and thinking, like, you know, I don't know any math, I don't understand things. You know, and really it's just me being dumb because this happens a lot. So yeah, feel free to learn me about it.
Slight question. Shouldn't the vertical, 1 by whatever we just use, be square brackets instead of just parentheses?
You'll see those are often, but actually it's a matter of taste. So like, I don't think it corresponds to like the age of the textbook or something. Like it's like the modern Lindsay one and the old Lindsay something. But you will actually sometimes see, like I think you've taken it originally in algebra, you've seen like the matrix notation, but sometimes people will use round brackets as well. So for yourself, it's whatever you're comfortable with, and it all just kind of makes the same thing. But yeah, good thing to point out, because probably some people have seen square brackets and they're going like, yeah, the round brackets mean something different, do I need to learn something new? And the answer is no, it's the same thing. Alright, great question. So here, we can plot out what the 3-4 looks like. So it kind of goes through this way. Kind of go this way, and that's where I calculated my vector is going to be. But if I actually draw in all these extra sides, they are, in theory, a parallelogram, and in practice, kind of a parallelogram, because I'm not the best artist. But this vector, that's the result of our summation, is the diagonal of this parallel. So this is kind of useful to know for geometry, because as I said, a big part of what we're going to be doing here is going to involve a lot of geometry, and I might ask you to do some problem solving that involves geometry, and it's really useful to, you know, have your head around some of the tools in your toolkit, and this is one of the tools, is knowing that you want to know if you want to build a parallelogram or you want to build something like that, that's what vector addition is. Alright, so that's an example. You can also do this in higher dimensions. So you have three-dimensional case where you have something like, and these don't have to be integers. I usually write integers because it's just the first number that pops into my head is usually integer, but for here, they don't need to be. They can be, you know, any that if I'm kind of like figure out based on my drawing where everything is, it's really hard. I can't do the thing. But I can still add these together and just go component wise and say, okay, what's negative 1 plus 5.3? That's 4.3. And what's 0.5 plus 7? That's 7.5. And what's 2 plus 1 plus negative 8.4? That's negative 6.3. And so it's very easy to do. So adding these are easy, but it's kind of powerful because it's a very nice geometrical tool. You can also do this. This is another one that works perfectly fine in as many dimensions as you want. You just do this the same way. You know, if you're working in eight-dimensional space, like if you go to study string theory or something, you want to work in eleven-dimensional space or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. So the other main thing that we do in vector spaces is we have what's called scale multiplication. Now, some of you may have seen this before. As I said, I don't even know if this is explained. This will be in the high school curriculum. There's going to be a few different things called multiplication. So it's useful to keep it straight and just have our heads around what we mean when we say multiply. There's a few different kinds, so they're going to have names. So the simplest one is called scalar multiplication. And scalar is just a fancy way of saying number. So in this case, we're just dealing with real numbers, and that's what our scalars are. And so this means multiplication by a number. And so what you do there is you just multiply each component. So if I have a vector and a number, say I have the number negative 2, and I want to multiply the vector negative 1, comma 2 by it, then I just multiply each component by the number of the scalar. So as a scalar is a fancy way of calling it, but I'm kind of used to using the words, so I'm just going to like say scalar and sort of assume you all know what I'm talking about because I'm used to talking to other mathematicians, right? And so we just use the word scalar. And this is again one of the things that kind of sometimes alienates people from math because the unfortunate is that we use all these funny words that we're used to using a bit like a different language. And they don't mean anything complicated. It just means the number. So if I just say, oh, we have to multiply by the scalar, and you know, it's gonna take a sort of, you know, half second to let you go, the right scalar is a number, please don't be intimidated by this. And if I'm just being too confusing, there's a very good chance, and if you feel like you're confused, there's a very good chance that it's just I'm talking like a mathematician again, and the concept may not be that fun. So I'm just introducing you to that word because I might just say it by accident, and it might confuse you, and be confused. There's nothing wrong with being confused, but don't be intimidated. Don't be scared off. Don't feel like, you know, you can't do math. Because I'm absolutely sure that every one of you is pretty bright enough to do math background. So, yes, another warning. Apply that in general. So I multiply these together. Again, pretty simple. I say, what's negative 2 times negative 1? That's just 2, because you remember two negative signs, multiply, and you get positive. And the other one is negative 4. And geometrically, this kind of gives you, you know, a few different things that can happen. Well, basically one thing, but it gives you a tool that can do a few different things. So in this case, I'm plotting negative 1, 2, so I go over negative 1, so I'm going the opposite direction here, and then up by 2. So here's my vector. And then my other vector, the one that I got, is if I plot 2 over and then 4 down. I get vectors that point the same direction, well not the same direction, but the same angle, but one is longer, this one is longer, and it points the opposite direction. So what happened here is because I multiplied it by a number that's bigger than 1, it grew the vector. So if you can imagine if I just multiplied it by 2, you work through that example too, it's very easy to do. 2 times the same original vector equals negative 2, 4, and that's going to be up here somewhere. So basically what I did is I just made the vector twice as long. And I could make it 3 times as long, I could make it 1.5 times as long, I could make it 5 times as long, all that sort of stuff. So that's an operation I can do. If I just want to grow something, I do scalar multiplication. With the negative sign, what that ended up doing was make it go the opposite direction. So if I just wanted to make it go the opposite direction, I could multiply by negative 1. So negative 1 times our original vector just reverses the sign on both of those, and that guy's going to end up around there. So it just takes it and makes it point the opposite direction, but it's the same length. And if I multiply it by negative 2 like I did, it makes it longer and pointing the opposite direction. So geometrically, that's what scalar don't put a dot in at all, if I don't put anything there, I'm going to show you that just so you're comfortable with it. If I have 1/2 times a vector, what I mean is scalar multiplication. So if I write something like that, I mean scalar multiplication. I mean multiply this 1/2 by all of the components. So a vector space ends up with a bunch of like properties of addition and scalar multiplication that I'm not gonna like. So there's standardly given there are 8, and I'm not gonna like make you memorize them as 8 rules. I'm not gonna make you understand what are the 8 properties of addition and scalar multiplication. But I do want you to be very comfortable and familiar with them. I want you to just get fluent in them, just get used to the fact that there are certain things. It doesn't matter. that plane that I drew, or the higher space. And if you add that to anything, it doesn't change it. So that's actually really simple. So that's the thing about axioms. They all seem really simple. They make it sound complicated to say these are the axioms, but they're actually like, yeah, they're all pretty obvious. You probably use a lot of them. Addition as inverse. So inverse means something that if I add it to the thing, I'll get zero. So there's going to be something called negative A, where when I add it to A, this is equal to the zero vector. So every vector has a vector that I can add to it and get zero. So what this is super simple. So if I had like the vector that had 4, negative 1, comma 2, then my inverse is equal to 1, comma negative 2. And I'm going to write that as something that's prevents putting a negative sign in front of the vector or in front of like the name of the vector, which is A. So again, that's really simple. You just turn all the numbers, you flip the sign on all the numbers, you add them together, of course you're going to get zero. So basically, the idea is, if I take, if I multiply
then this is the same as if I just multiplied B and A together first. These are just numbers. And then multiply them by. So then. But basically what it is, I'm just going to show you an example and see what it's going to do.
factors say, you know, 1, 0, 3, and then you're going to write a dot. And 2, 1, 1.5, if you don't have to always consider it, and negative 3. So say I have something like this. How I see the dot product is I just look at each coordinate, and I multiply those together, and then I add them all up. So I say, what's 1 times 2? So 1 times 2, and that's just ordinary multiplication of those numbers, plus 0 times 1.5, plus negative 3 times negative 2. So I can do this to the calculation. So 1 times 2 is 1, 0 times 1.5 is 0, and negative 3 times negative 2, again, it's a negative sign, so it's positive. So this is a dot product. This seems like kind of a silly thing to do. Like, why do we do this? It actually turns out it has some really kind of magical geometrical properties. Like, it does a lot of geometry for free. Like, if I wanted you to like figure out a cosine or something, like I would figure out a cosine in a calculator. But it actually like, has really impact on geometry for using like dot products. It's really simple to do. You can multiply a bunch of numbers together and add them, and then you can figure out a lot of stuff. So and basically all you can do is look like this. As I said, this one actually works in higher dimensions as well. So like, and also when I talk about the dot product, it continues to work in higher dimensions. So I could have done this in 2 dimensions as well, but I could also do it in like 11 dimensions. So some properties, again, I'm not necessarily gonna make you regurgitate these things, and I'm not gonna make you prove them. You typically, I might, but I'm probably, unless it's easy, but I'm not gonna positive or zero, and usually decided to do that, basically. There's kind of like a not super nice name for that property, but basically that's another operation you just sort of get comfortable doing. And again, it makes sense when you're trying to complicate it. Using
but we do have some Google questions. I'll give you just other questions. WebAssembly are expensive, so it's kind of neat because you can do it direct stuff, but you can probably find something similar online anyway. I might look around to see if there's something online that does that. So I'm not gonna give any marks for WebAssembly, but like some people have it anyway. Some people had to buy it because they did a previous course. So for them, I'll put up something. But if you haven't bought it for any other reason, don't worry about it.
But like I use the, is it the, can we use the same text?
You
know, like,
can.
Like, without the blue color that like, last time you mentioned, the blue colors at the start.
Yeah, these so chapters are the same. So even though the person before me picked out the red text because it's mandatory, but it's actually it's identical. So if you have WebAssign, I'll put some up, but if you don't have it, we're going to post like normal problems from the textbooks. I think they're all the same from both textbooks. And I'll see what I can find on the web as well. So don't worry about that.
So we'll hold in Moodle when the Moodle is set up.
Yes.
Well, so will 1300 and 1310 code work fine for this? If you bought the Moodle?
I think it does. I think if you bought that textbook, you just have that.
Yeah, because I knew she not told you to do that. It's the reason I bought that.
I think like if you, whatever you do, the instructors are always coordinated. So when you say like, yeah, but the web sign, and then someone else will. Where's it? Yeah, but I don't want to make anyone who didn't buy it have to buy it for another site.
Yeah.
And then you can't like sell it on as well.
Thanks a ton.
I bought this one for you.
Okay.
Oh, do you know if I do the bridge? I call the pressure for the bridge. Like, the ultimate exam, they want me to book 2 weeks in advance.
Okay, I will try to get those nailed down. Certainly at least 2 weeks in advance, but I will try to get them, confirmed before.
Oh, thank you so much.
And my email address should work now. If you tried emailing me earlier, it may not have worked, but I think it should work.
What's your email address again?
So, I can write it down for you, but again, I think you guys will automatically get added to the Moodle, and then it will be on your own.
Okay.
So hopefully this will all get set up over this weekend.
No.
And like there would be like...
I think that should work, but as I said, once the Moodle gets set up, you can find my email address there.
Can you find math question?
I have
two vectors, like a two-dimensional vector, then I have a dot product with a four-dimensional vector. Does that work?
So strictly speaking, there's no definition of it. But one thing that you can do is if you have a three-dimensional vector, you could add a zero at the end. So this is okay, so say you had a two-dimensional vector and it's in the plane, and then I say, but I'm really in three-dimensional space, what that means is I kind of added a zero at the end of the vector, and then I have a three-dimensional vector that happens to lie in the plane, and then I can take a dot product with another three-dimensional vector. But strictly speaking, if it's just given to you as a two-dimensional vector, and then there's like you want to take a dot product with a three-dimensional vector, it's actually a good way to say, like, maybe I made a mistake if I'm trying to take a dot product with these of different dimensions.
Can you work with that? Is there any visualization of it? Like, if I take a dot product of those things?
If I take the example of a two-dimensional vector in the plane, and then a three-dimensional vector that's somewhere else, and I take the dot product, it's just the one happens to be lying in the plane.
Oh.
So it's just like in normal, except that one happens to be lying in the two-dimensional.
Oh, I see. So it's like 2D, but then you're looking at a 2D perspective.
Yeah.
Then after you put a zero.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Have you ever read the book Flatland?
Flatland?
Yeah.
Oh no!
I'll put it up on the Moodle. It's a guy who lives in, he's a square, and he lives in two-dimensional space, and then someone comes and teaches him about three-dimensional space, and he can't even picture it.
Oh! What's the author?
Abbott.
Oh, how do you spell that?
I think it's A-B-B-O-T-T, I think. I might have that not quite right, but if you put it in Google will have the right stuff.
Oh, thank you.
I'll put it on the Moodle as well if I remember.
Oh, so my mom could look it, or like after class, could come up to you for a second.
Today or?
Oh, on Monday?
On Monday? Yeah, sure.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Oh, for so like that, like, I'm just thinking about, like, how many questions do you usually give?
I haven't decided yet, but the rough idea is we have sort of the rough course ones of like 1 point per minute. So it's probably going to be a 3-hour exam, which has 180 minutes. So I'll probably lowball it, probably won't be quite 180 points, but that would be kind of a rough estimate. But the questions might be, you know, worth more or less. So an easy question will only be a few points, and a harder question will be worth a lot more points.
Oh, I see. Thank you for
that,
Lily.
Jay?
J-A-I.
J-A-I. Okay.
Nice to meet
you.
Thank you.